Chapter 10, The Gifts. In the supply room, the professor set the train in motion and then he raced through the secret entrances to watch the delivery take place in the dome. All the tinies were still asleep when the train whistle blew. Some of them startled in fright. Others raised their heads wearily with confusion. Louis was the first one up. As soon as they caught sight of the train coming in, the children rolled out of bed and raced down to the track to see what it was bringing in. Uncle Louis had received the text the night before and knew what was happening. He took charge. "All right, children, we have been sent a wonderful gift from the professor. This is furniture for your houses." There were squeals of delight, especially from the girls. Some of the kids started pushing forward to get to the train first. Those already in front began pushing the others back, and a fight nearly broke out. Uncle Louis stopped them. "We are going to do this fairly for everyone," he began patiently. "First, we are going to bring all the furniture out and set it up on a line on the grass. Then we will decide who gets to pick. Does everyone understand?" Mumbled agreement was reluctantly given. Opening the doors to the train, Louis let the children bring out the furniture. Piece by piece, it was brought out and set in place on the grass. A large metal, wicker-like couch with pink and white cushions was a favorite. Two of the tinies carried out the couch, and all of the girls hoped to claim it as their own. A blue checkered hammock attracted the attention of the Beach Boys. When Uncle Louis explained how it was used, all three wanted it. Unfortunately, the hammock was the only item that Lima, France, and Damien bothered to retrieve. Everyone else continued unloading the furniture until it was out of the train. The very last piece was a white sculpted double bed, which was carried out by Zahir and Milan. There was an uproar over the bed. Uncle Louis wondered how to divide the gifts up fairly. Everyone had been helpful, except, of course, the Beach Boys. But they had helped a little. They had carried one piece out. "Okay, everyone stand in a line," Uncle Louis said, motioning to the grass beside him. "Now, first of all, there is no need to panic. I want you to know the professor will be sending in 3 more train loads of furniture for trade. Eventually, there will be enough beds and chairs for everyone. Not only that, but if there are items you really like, we can try to make them from building boards." His words had a calming effect on the children. "Almost everyone was helpful," he began. "So any suggestions on how to make it fair?" Kenzie spoke up. "Let's put all the names in a jar, just like we did for the houses," he said. It wasn't an original idea, but everyone was in agreement. With her long blonde hair streaming behind her, Georgia ran off to get a pen and paper from inside the store. Kenzie found a jar. Together they worked to write all the names down, while the others craned their necks to inspect all the choices again without getting out of line. France's name was chosen first, most undeservedly, and to no one's surprise, he picked the hammock. Then Santa was next, and she chose the big white bed, which would come in handy for the 5 girls living in the mansion. "We can all fit in this," she exclaimed cheerfully to her future housemates. Georgia, Amy, and Lily nodded dubiously. Dia shook her head and reminded Santa that she needed a room of her own. The professor, watching silently and unseen from the other side of the dome, heard when Amy's name was called out and saw that she chose the pink and white couch. Gleefully, she danced around it. She was so thrilled. It made the professor very happy to see the tinies react with joy to his gifts. One by one, the children were called as their names were drawn from the jar and they had their opportunity to choose a piece of furniture. Some of the children began hauling off their piece to the site they had chosen for their home. Rosa, however, let everyone know she was unhappy, complaining that the only chair left was green. "And I don't like green," she wailed. "It's not fair. Won't someone trade with me?" But no one else wanted to trade, and all that was left was a desk. Rosa didn't want a desk. It was now obvious that when the professor had loaded the train, he had miscounted by 1. Standing on the other side of the dome, he shook his head in dismay. Someone was going to be disappointed. "This isn't supposed to happen in paradise," he rebuked himself. "How could I mess up counting to 21? Although they had already collected their piece of furniture, Amy, Nancy, and Milan were still standing nearby, wondering who was going to miss out. When the second last name was called, Vanitha strode forward to pick up the 1 white desk still standing on the grass. Quiet little Yu Yan bowed her dark head and began to cry. There was nothing left for her. For a moment, no one knew what to do. Professor sent a text to Louis, even though he knew he wouldn't get it until he entered the cave later on that night. "Sorry about the miscount on the furniture. I will send it another piece right away." Walking over to the wall, intending to press the train reverse button, he was surprised to hear Amy speak up. "It's okay, Yuyan," she said. "You can have my couch. Uncle Louis said the professor will be sending in lots of other furniture. I can pick something the next time." Rushing back over to look through the dome, the professor saw Yuyan dry her tears and gratefully accept the pretty couch. Vahid offered to help her carry it over to the orchard. A wonderful feeling came over the professor. It surpassed the joyful feeling he'd felt when Amy had danced around the couch. Her compassion and willingness to share evoked a deep measure of love in the professor's heart toward her. She was moved by Yuyan's tears, he pondered. She saw her friend's pain and acted generously. "And she believes me," he smiled. "She trusts I'll send in more furniture." He blew her a kiss, only, of course, Amy had no idea what the professor had done or how he felt about her. Then he ran to the wall and pressed the train reverse button. With its whistle blowing, the train began backing up. The professor raced through the open elevator entrances and into the supply room. He looked through the fairy furniture for something special and was delighted to find another couch with pink and white cushions. Placing this on the train, he was ready to send it back in when he stopped himself. "If I send the train in right away," he considered, "then all the children will know they're being watched." As much as he longed to give Amy an immediate reward, he knew it was better to let her faith in him hold strong for another day. With a sigh, the professor loaded up the train with as much furniture as it could carry so that it would be ready for the morning. He sent Louis another text. "Please make sure that Amy has first dibs on the furniture when the next train comes in."